So before we get started tonight, I did want to explain about our pastor. He fell this afternoon after he went home down some stairs and broke his femur. So he's being transported to Kaiser so that they can do whatever they need to do to work on his femur. The femur. We got nurses here, right? It's the big bone, upper part of the leg. Yeah. Not the hip bone, but the part that goes into the hip bone. Yeah, not the hip bone. It's the upper part of the femur. So we'll remember the Thompsons. And let's remember especially Audrey, because Mark is not well. I believe Mark is also in the hospital at this point. And so Audrey has her hands full. She's got two to deal with. And pardon? Yeah, we'll put the prayer on tape. And we'll be ready to go, guys. So let's just take a moment to pray. We want to pray for our pastors. And then, of course, we want to pray for what God has to say to us. Amen. Lord, we are very grateful to you for all your loving kindness and your many mercies and your manifold goodness to us, Lord. Just goodness to us, Lord. And we are grateful. We want to acknowledge you in all these things, Lord. And so, Lord, we do come to you in prayer. We don't, Lord, you said you are able to cause all things to work together for good to those who love you and are called according to your purposes. So while we don't necessarily understand what good is going to come from our pastor having fallen and broken his leg, Lord, we believe it. That's just the way you do things. That's just the way you do things, Lord, because you're God and you're great. And you have a great purpose in the earth. It's unfolding in these days. So, Lord, we bless our pastors, the Thompsons. Bless Bob, Lord, as he is probably going to have to undergo some surgery to repair this broken leg. We bless Mark, Lord, who is not well. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but he has not been doing well and is also in the hospital. And we bless Audrey, Lord, who is having to work between the two of them, Lord. I pray, especially for Audrey at this point, Lord, that there will not be an undue stress. Lord, just lift it from her. I ask in the name of Jesus right now, lift any stress or burden or undue thing, Lord. She is your servant and we are in your hands, Lord, and you will prevail. Give us grace, Lord, as an assembly to know how we might be able to help in any way we can, Lord. And be a blessing to this family who has been such a tremendous blessing to us and all the years of faithfulness, Lord. So we pray that you would bless Audrey and bless Bob and bless Mark, Lord, as they are in their hour of suffering, as they have been through the years, Lord. We will have suffering in this life, Lord. I pray that it will form a greater measure of Christ, a greater measure of your beauty and your holiness and your glory in their lives, and that we might all benefit because of it. Now, Lord, as we look into your word tonight, I pray you have a purpose, Lord. This is not an accident, Lord. I'm not here because it's a fill-in and somebody needs to stand up. You have purposes in everything. So, Lord, we're expecting you will guide us tonight. You will speak to us tonight. You will impart something to our hearts and our spirits, Lord, that we need to hear, that we need to grow within our beings. Give us grace, Lord, we pray. In your name we ask. Amen. Amen. All right, I'd like us to turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Should be fairly familiar to everybody. No, I'm not in the King James. And no, actually, I'm in an NAS tonight. Thank you. And I'd like us to read down through verse 13. Okay, so let's all read together. Here we go. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which were visible. By faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous. God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore also there was born to one man, and him as good as dead at that, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. All these died in faith, without receiving the promises, but having seen them, and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. All right. I'd like to talk a little to you tonight about, I'm not sure. I'm not going to talk to you about faith, although faith is spoken of here. And faith is what we're going to need. What I want to talk to you tonight is that change is coming. Change is coming to America. You know, it's interesting. I heard, Pastor said that there were 1 million people that went to Washington. Anybody else heard that number? 1 million people. I heard it on the news, but what I found interesting, I when I listen to the news, I usually listen to CBS, and whenever they have like some other group represented that they favor, that is more politically correct maybe or whatever, they love to give the number. You know, and if it's 250,000, they may, wow, 250,000 people were. But they didn't ever mention the number of people. I was a little surprised the way it sounded, the way it came across to me, like there was a handful of them up there protesting and like, you know, okay. But if it was 1 million of them, 1 million people somewhat angry at our government, that's interesting. It's interesting. Many of us, including them, I think, also are sensing change is coming. It's not just coming to America, it's coming to the earth. And it's coming to you and I. We're going to be caught up in the middle of the change that's coming. And for change, I think it's going to happen in our lifetime, Tony. I don't think these died without receiving the promise. We likely will die without receiving the promise. The promise that we're looking for is to the return of the Lord Jesus, to set up his kingdom on the earth. For me, that's fine. I always thought when I was young that I would be alive when that happened. But I thought it would happen before I got to be 50 and now past 50. Besides that, when you get past 50, the thought of having a little rest is it's a good thought. We heard a little this morning about balance. Amen, sister. Balance. I'm into a little rest. I'm into a little rest. But I believe that the world is sensing change. When you talk to people, they sense it. And if you listen to music, I like to listen to music because you know what? The interesting about music is it is it's probably the most listened to and accepted prophecy that goes on in the country. I mean, I know you don't think of music as prophecy, but when people, whether Christian or otherwise, sense things and sing about it, people listen. Back in the 60s, they're still celebrating the prophecies that went forth, so to speak, of change coming. And it came. It came. And so the singers, I like to listen to the singers. Of course, I, being called to be our lead worshiper here, I have made a covenant with God to only listen to worship music. That's all I will listen to. I want to hear what God is saying. There's a lot of other stuff that I could listen to, and I just don't choose to do so because I want to hear what God is saying. And so I listen only to worship music. But I can hear a difference. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. I can hear people singing things they never sang about even 10 years ago. It's marvelous. So change is coming. And we sense it. And most of us don't have any idea exactly what that change is, what it means, when it's going to happen. And that's why I want to talk a little bit about faith, because, you see, this is common to Christians to know that change is coming and yet to not know what or to know when or to know how. So I want to look a little bit at these, mostly I want to look at Abraham. So can we flip down till we get to Abe? By the way, before we get there, let's see if it's still there. Yeah, it's still there. Verse 6. Look at verse 6 there. And without faith, no, that's not the one I want. Which one do I want?
We must believe that he is and a rewarder of those.
Is that 6? It is. Sorry. Just keep reading. Verse 6, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. All right, in the days that we're living, we're going to have faith. Okay, and I'll explain a little bit. We all know, okay, we're all Christians, right? We all know we got to have faith, right? Right. But talk. No, for what's coming, we need to have faith because we don't know what's coming, Tony. We have no clue. Do you know what's coming? How it's going to affect your family? What your kids are going to be facing in 20, 30 years? We haven't got a clue, Tony. And we're going to have faith in something. Otherwise, we're going to be shaken. Because likely things are going to be different. And in a way we don't understand or maybe even appreciate. Okay? And as we read in Hebrews, we find that the Hebrew... The people that were being addressed by the writer of Hebrews said that some of them had their property confiscated. And we look at each other and we go, wow, have you had your property confiscated, Jason, lately? No, we haven't had our property confiscated. And you know what? That was no big deal because the writer of Hebrews says, yeah, but you haven't striven against sin to the point of shedding your blood. Oh, no, that's really getting personal. Okay? So we wonder if we're going to be counted worthy to be among that company. Maybe, Tony, some drastic changes coming in the winds. Okay? So we're going to have faith. Because he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Now, this is one of the few times that I have a little fault with the New American. Matter of fact, it is twice in this same passage that I have a little trouble with the New American. Because it says, being about Noah in reverence. And pastors talked about that before. The word is fear. Tony got his Greek book there. Verse 7. In fear, he prepared an ark, or reverence? Is there a difference in the Greek?
Reverence.
Ah, that's what they call it, huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So we'll go with the NAS. Well, let's go back to, it says a rewarder of those who seek him. Where does it say diligently seek him? Is that the King James? Yeah, I like the King James in that. Now, it may not be in the original, but I like it anyway, okay? Can I have my prejudice? Those are diligently seeking. We're going to have to diligently seek God in the days that are ahead. We're going to have to. We always have. And we have to now, unfortunately, because, fortunately for us, because the economy has been bad, we've been a little more diligent, haven't we? Okay. When the economy was good, things were going fine. We weren't necessarily so diligent. We were going along all happy, happy, happy. And all of a sudden, the bottom fell out. And those of us who are in construction, whoa. we're learning a new meaning for the word diligent. Yeah, bro.
Cautious.
Cautious.
It's not fear. It's cautious. It's not the reverence.
It's not phobos.
It's not phobos.
Okay. All right, so he's a rewarder of those who seek him, and we're going to have to seek him diligently. So for me, a lot of people like the first verse for their definition of faith, but I like this verse for my definition of faith. Okay? Because you have to believe that God is. Now, that's what we have to believe, Jay. We hear our things are changing. We hear that things may get bad. We hear that there may be persecution coming to the church. There is in other places already. You know, why should we be exempt? So we hear those sort of things, and what we're likely to do is we're likely to concentrate on that aspect of things and look. And what faith does and what we need faith for is we need to see a whole nother world. Okay? We need to see a whole nother world. Now, we've always needed to see this other world. And we're going to see. That's what Abraham was looking for. That's what Abraham was expecting. We're going to look at that. But we need to get a hold of that, Jason. We need to begin to stop looking at this world. Getting our cues from this world. Okay? Because this world, for one, is not going to last. Scripture tells us that. When the Lord Jesus comes, he's going to put an end to everything that we know about this world order. Because he's going to rule in righteousness, and the world does not rule in righteousness right now. I don't know exactly what it rules from. I could have said easily, not that many years ago, greed. But I'm not sure necessarily that greed is the purpose any longer for some of the things that are happening. Okay? I'm not sure any longer that greed is at the heart. It's the spirit of Antichrist. We understand that, and we know the spirit of Antichrist has been in the world since the days of 1 John. John says the spirit of Antichrist is already here among us. Okay? So it's been at work in the world all this time. But it's coming to a fulfillment. It's like a plant. You know? How many have ever planted sunflower seeds? Have you planted sunflower seeds? Before you get a sunflower, what do you get? A big sunflower plant, right? With big leaves. They got big leaves, don't they? And they get huge, don't they? How big did yours get? Oh, no, his. About 10 feet. Yeah, they get really big. And you got to get the big, big plant out there before you begin to get that huge flower, right? All right, that's what's coming up in the world. We're getting a big plant now. Okay, the big flower is not shown yet. All right? I don't know if it's in the bud. I don't know where it all is. I'm not looking at that world, okay? I don't know. Unless God tells me, I don't know how far gone things are. But I can tell you this. The spirit of Antichrist is like a big sunflower plant. It's gotten big already. Okay, in the earth. And the earth is going south. It's going sour. It's going bad. And if we keep our eyes on that, we're going to get shook. Because that's not our foundation. That's not the world we need to be looking at. We really have got to begin. We were told this morning that we need to begin to learn how to live by the Spirit so that we see by the Spirit, we hear by the Spirit, we think by the Spirit, and we live by the Spirit. That's the only way we're going to see the other world that God wants us to fasten on. Because this one, Tony, is fading away. This one is going to bring heartache and sorrow if we got our eyes focused on it. So we're going to have to live with our eyes. And that's faith, because that's not what's seen. Now, all along we've known, and the Lord has said that he's going to have a church, a bride, that's going to be without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. Okay? We've heard that, and we all believe that, and we all look at each other and go, well, ain't here yet. Okay? Not here yet. But I can begin to see, God pulling people, different, various people and different Christians from different areas. And it's starting to come together. It's people, it's Christians from among the big conglomeration that we call Christians that God is calling out and calling together. And they are beginning, I'm hearing songs. I mean, I'll have to stick with songs because that's where I'm at. Okay, so you're going to have to listen to a little bit of songs. Noel doesn't mind, but some of the rest of you may get bored. All right, but since songs is my thing, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about songs. And what used to be common in the last 10, 20 years ago was what they call reality songs. Everybody heard the reality songs? You don't know what I'm talking about. That was basically where they would sing, you know, gee, I'm sure glad God has grace because I stumble and fall and I make a mess out of my life all the time, but I'm sure glad God saved me by his grace. Reality songs. What they were saying is, you know, I'm really not living the life, but I'm sure glad it doesn't matter. Reality songs, they were calling them. I have not heard so many reality songs lately. Instead, I've heard some real songs where young people are beginning to sing that they know they can overcome sin. They have a purpose and a vision that they can overcome sin. It's no longer this, there are some people who are just fervent and who have set their lives apart, their focus is not what they're going to do for a living. Their focus is not who they're going to get married to. Their focus is, I'm going to serve God. That's it. That's their focus. I'm going to serve God. And they're singing different kinds of songs that I'm hearing. Now, to me, these are reality songs because these songs are based on a world we can't see, but that's coming. There's a world coming. And we've got to begin to see it because when Jesus comes, I want to be among those who come with him. And with him, bring in this new world of righteousness. And get frustrated. I'm in construction. I get frustrated with the stuff that goes on in construction. I mean, I've never been in the union. And so the kind of stuff that goes on in construction that's not union, you don't want to know about it. I mean, you bought the house and be happy and don't ask questions. But it's not always up and up. It's not always forthright. There's a lot of, and the poor guy that gets beat the most is the average laborer. And they wonder, why are we going to all these illegal people to do the work? Because they're the only ones that are still willing to do it. All right, let's look at Abraham. Okay, there's a few things that Abraham wants to show us about faith tonight. My faith, Abraham, when he was called. All right, first off, what do you have to have? You got to be called. Jay, do you know you're called, bro? It's a serious question. You got to know you're called. Okay? Kino? Do you know you're called? Nichi? Jazzy? Do you know you're called? By faith, Abraham, when he was called, God calls us. Okay? He didn't call everybody. He didn't call everybody in Abraham's day. He called Abraham. He wasn't even Abraham. He was Abram. And he called him. And he obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive as an inheritance. Okay? That's this world that's coming. We got a world that's coming that is our inheritance. A world of righteousness. A world where holiness will be prevailing. Holiness. Again, go to a construction site and, oh man, don't have to use the poor outhouse they have out there. Because the inside walls, they're not holy. Okay? I don't need to say anymore. But they're not holy. I'm looking for this world where the holiness everywhere and everything. It's an inheritance. Now look at this. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Okay? Where are we going, Tony? Does anybody know where we're going? We're going to have to go by faith, because the problem is God is calling us out. Jason, God is calling us out. He's not asking you to move and start getting in a car and start driving east until he says stop. Okay? In a sense, that would be easy. Okay? And everybody would go, wow, what a hero. Look at that guy. He's driving across the country in his car. He's not going to stop till God tells him. Huh? Wow, that's rude. Okay? Everybody would be going, wow, look at that. Might even get on the news. Here's a young man traveling across the country. He's going to stop when God tells him. Okay? That's a little too easy. Instead, what you've got to do is you've got to stop living by this world, Mary. And live by another world that you can't see, that you don't really know that much about. And you've got to go to God to find out about it. And he may be talkative, I'm not sure. But I'm here to tell you, it's hard to hear what he says. How many times have you heard God speak to you? You don't have to answer my question, but think about it. How many times have you heard God speak to you? Okay? Have you ever written down and wrote a log how many times God spoke to Abraham? Remember, Abraham lived 175 years. It, the way it sounds, I mean, when you're reading in the book, like they talked all the time, you know? But the guy lived 175 years, and if you talk to the different times, it was a handful. He told him, you're going to have a baby. And 25 years later, he had the baby. What happened? Were they still talking in between time? I don't know. It's not recorded. And they may have been. It'd been nice if they were, but I don't know. That's why Jesus said, it's better if I go, because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit's available. He can talk to you every day. The interesting thing is, Tony, he talks to you what's on his mind and not what's on yours. Until he's ready, he's not going to tell you where you're going. But he will tell you, go. He's telling us, Abby, to go. I know you know that. I know you know that too, Mary. I've seen and watched your life, and you live by that, and that's good. It takes faith, though. And it's not easy. It's not easy. So the first thing we learn is that God calls us, but he doesn't tell us where we're going. Okay? Isn't that neat? He tells us to go, but he doesn't tell us where we're going. Back in let's go back to the actual story. It's in Genesis 12. And the Lord said to Abraham, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house. Okay, you got that? Go forth from your country, your relatives, your father's house. Everything you know and hold dear. In a real sense, we're being told to forsake. Everything that makes sense to us, Jay. Everything that we think we can get a handle on. Now, your life has been in such an upheaval. You don't have anything to put a handle on, do you? You, Mary. Okay? That's where we all have to live. That's where we all have to live. Your circumstances have helped you in that sense. And it's been good to see that you walk that way. But for some of us, our lives are comfy cozy. And we've got to come to the place where all the things that we would look to for our stability, all the things that we would look to for our comfort, all the things that we would look to for making sense out of life and who we are. I mean, I don't know what it's like in the Philippines, but in the United States, who you are depends on what profession. I mean, if you're a doctor or a lawyer, you know, if you got a couple of letters after your name, that means a whole lot more than if you don't. you know. And if you live in a big executive house up on the hill that can see the ocean, that means a whole lot more than those of us that live down in the lowlands. Okay, you know what I'm saying? And if you're driving a Lexus or whatever, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with Lexuses because they're great cars. And I would love to have one if I could afford it. Okay? But a lot of us put our worth and who we are bound up in these kind of things. That doesn't mean anything. Okay? But it's hard for us to buck that, to turn away from that, to leave that behind and gain our worth in a world that we can't see. But we have to. I'm speaking to you tonight on the basis of who I am, so to speak, in a world that we can't see. Otherwise, I'm just a drywaller. I got no right to stand up here and talk to you. What do I know? Unless I'm talking drywall, I'm not an expert. Okay? But God is making me an expert in His kingdom. So that I can talk to you not about things that I think, or things that I've heard about, or things that I've read, or things that people have told me, but things that God Himself is showing me. Because they're real. And they're there. And we have to live by them. Okay, so the first thing he says, go forth from your country, from your relatives, from your father's house, and the land, to the land which I will show you. Where is that? I mean, it depends on your personality. If you're fairly phlegmatic, that might not be a big problem. Right, Lloyd? But to some of us, it doesn't matter whether you're, which other one of them, well, sanguines probably wouldn't care either, but the melancholies and the colors, boy, they're, I know where I'm going. Yeah, give me TomTom or MapQuest or something, just don't send me out nowhere. Well, that's the first thing you've got to learn about God. He's calling us to something new, but He's not telling us what it is. We have to have faith, Tony, that not only has He called us, not only is what He's called us to really going to be good, but that we are qualified to do it. Because if we look at ourselves, I'm just that drywaller. You know, see, when I come home, I got goobs of mud on me. Okay? We've got to believe that God is, and that He will reward those who diligently seek Him. Okay? And that takes faith. We have to look at something that we're not seeing. So we're going forth and we don't know where. The first thing we're learning, Jason, is what? We don't know where we're going. Yeah. We don't know. Okay? Does anybody know where we're going? Everybody got the first point. Huh? We're leaving the world, which is a difficult thing because the world's all around us. And He hasn't asked us to come out. In a sense that we go climb up into the mountains and become hermits. Or burn our Lexuses. He hasn't asked us to do that. He wants us to be able to drive that Lexus as if it's a car that's well made and does well and suits the need for which you have it. And yet it means nothing other than that. Okay, number one, we don't know where we're going. Number two, verse two, and I will make you, who? Moi? Okay, he's not talking about those, he's talking about you. You. He's talking about you. I will make you. When he calls you, he's going to make you. He's going to make you. What? And I will make you. I keep trying to read my Bible. I haven't got my glasses, so I have to remember to look to the prompter, which is big and bold, and I can actually see it. And I will make you a great nation. Whoa. And I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing. Now, the second thing we see here is that what God has called us for, Jay, is some greatness that we can't attain on our own. He's calling us to a greatness that's impossible. It's for some of us, it's impossible to grasp. For some of us, it's impossible that God would call me. I'm just the poor ADD guy who's got a good fat C grade, okay, all my life. It's a middle of 2.65, I think it was, of what I graduated with. It took me a lot to get that 2.65. Okay? Nothing to brag about, but it took me a lot to get it because I couldn't keep my brain steady. And it's hard for me to think that God is calling me to something great, Tony. In the kingdom, I'm not just an average Joe who barely made it. I'm not. And neither are you. He's not calling us to be average Joes who just barely make life. Who fumble around, and somehow, in all their fumblings, they manage to do a little better than they did. I had a manager once tell me, when I was in management in a sewing factory, and my very first assignment I did wrong. He said, okay, you're the manager, okay. So they asked me. I don't know why they did this to me. I don't know. They've been making these same shorts for years. And they say, which pocket do you put the thing on? So I'm looking around, and I'm trying to figure it out, and I thought it went on the right pocket. It was OPs. Anybody ever heard of OPs? Ocean Pacifics. Yeah, they get a little monogram OP on them. Uh-huh. It wasn't that pocket. 1,800 worth of shorts out the window. It was the wrong pocket. Once they're embroidered. And you can't sell them as firsts anymore because it's the wrong pocket. And I'm devastated. My first day. I made it wrong. You know, I'm struggling with the little recording that always used to go on in my head. Thank God it doesn't anymore. Okay, but it used to. Stupid. I proved it again, you know. Stupid. But the boss told me, look, he says, the only people that don't make wrong decisions are the people who will never make decisions. That's what he told me, the boss, after I just lost him $1,800. He said, look, a good manager makes 51% of his decisions correctly. Well, that took a load off my mind. I figured I can do that. But God has not called us to that. He has not called us to 51%. He's not called us to get by and make some really big boo-boos. Oh, we're going to make some boo-boos. No, don't misunderstand me. But when we come to that place in the kingdom where we're raised from the dead and given a new body, by that time, we will be able to rule in an authority that doesn't make boo-boos. We're struggling with it now because our bodies don't really want to go along with God's plan. Our minds are at enmity with God, and they really don't want to think God's thoughts. Okay? And like our sister told us this morning, what we have to do is kill it. Put to death the deeds of the body. Okay? But we've got to believe that God has called us to something great, and it's impossible. Jay, I know me. And she knows me. And those girls know me. And if you had to go on what they know and what I know, 51% would be lucky. But that's not what God's called us to be. That's not the new creation. The new creation, that which is born within of God. God doesn't try anything. Do you know that? God doesn't try anything. God does. Because He's God. And that's the way God is going to make us, after His image. We're not going to be trying. Right now we're trying. We're trying to find out what pleases the Lord in our day, in the flesh. But if we come to this place that God has taken. Jay, God is taking us to a place. We've got to get a hold of it. We've got to see something that we can't see. We've got to see something about ourselves that we can't see. And we've got to put more stock in that than we do in what we can see. So when I stand up here, I don't stand up here talking to you because I'm the guy that God sees. I'm standing up here and talking to you because I'm the guy that God has spoken to me. He speaks to my heart. And He's telling me things about myself and yourselves that are mind-blowing. Okay? Makes Aragorn of the Lord of the Rings look like a punk. Okay? I will make you a great nation and I will bless you. And here's the thing about this. It's impossible. Tony, not only is He calling us someplace and we don't know where it is, but it's impossible. How can Abraham? He's already too old. How's he going to be a great nation? He's already too old. Sarah's too old. That's a joke. Wasn't a joke. Abraham believed it. It's impossible. But we've got to believe God is. And when God says, Jay, when God calls you, whoa, bro, that's monumental. The same God that makes stars and knows the name of every last one. We can't count them. We haven't even found them all. He knows all their names. We don't even know they have names. And most of those stars you see are bazillions of stars. They're just galaxies with lots of others. And He knows them all. He's got all their name. And He could just like that, no problem. He doesn't have to, let me think. He knows them all by name. He knows every hair on your head. This is the God that's called us. Believe me, what He has called us to be, who we are, is amazing. It's beyond amazing. Okay? We have to see, Mary. You may just see you here. That's not what God wants you to see. That's why Paul says, we see no man after the flesh anymore. We see you according to Christ. We got giants in this room. And most of us don't notice because they're short. Okay? Because we see by the flesh. God does not want us to see that way. He wants us to see by the Spirit. All right? It's impossible. Number two is, it's impossible. Except for God, it's impossible. But lay hold of it. It's way bigger. Way bigger. It's much better than any fantasy you can ever read. Okay? Supersedes them all. All right. But more than that. Look at verse 3. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now you think about that about yourself, Mary. That where you're going to end up, if you will follow God for this life, every person that ever lives will be blessed because of you. You. That's a big one, isn't it? But that's what God calls us to. Jay. That's what God calls us to. Okay? Because we have to have the same faith that Abraham had, right? So we're going to have the same reward, so to speak. It's not going to be exactly the same as his, but it will be the same because that's what God is telling us. We have to have by faith, have to understand that in the worlds to come, we will be a blessing to everyone. Me. Dykes. Right now, they haven't even heard of me. Well, maybe in spirit realm, some of them heard of us. I don't know. We might be surprised. We're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, right? So our names might be a little more popular than we think in the other world. Huh, Noel? What do you think? You think David's been listening to you play, thinking he wants you in his band? I'm talking about David. King David. He's a musician, you know. He and Asaph up there are talking. And you think they come and listen to you play? Huh? You think they're thinking of a spot for you in their band? They do things like that in the spirit realm, in the world to come. All people will be blessed. It's not for us. It's for others. Point three is, it's not just for us. It's for others. Okay? If we'll be faithful to this thing, Mary, I know it's a big picture and it's a big promise, and it just seems like, wow, Mr. Joe, that's interesting, and probably by tomorrow I'll forget all about it. But God wants us to hold on to it. He wants us, every time we read through this book or read through Hebrews or read through these things, He wants us to see ourselves in these pages. Because God has called us to these things. And He's faithful to do it. All right, now we need to go back to Hebrews. Because it talks here that he was an alien in the land of promise. Okay? That's how we have to live, Jay. Any of you are young. I'm picking on you because you're young, you and Kino. You're young, Mary, Abby. I'm not picking on her because she's my daughter, okay? You're young and you're thinking, what am I going to do for a living, right? All that sort of stuff. Yeah, 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 yeah. Not too soon, not too soon. Let me be young as long as I can. Yeah, let me be young. Okay. Because God wants us to set our eyes on something that we can't see. He wants us to set our eyes on something. The place that Abraham came to was his inheritance. Now Jay, get this now. Okay? Construction. Okay, in the kingdom to come, when the Lord comes, people are going to need houses. Right? Right? Yeah, yeah. So somebody's going to have to build them. All right? Personally, I would like a little say-so in how things get run, Tony. Yeah, Tony would too. All this little cheating and lying and scandaling and all that sort of stuff that goes on, I really would love to have the opportunity to stop it. Cold. Huh, Mark? Sooner the better, that's right. But in the meantime, I have to have my eyes on that, and I have to have my eyes, because in the meantime, it's not that way. And what my temptation is to rail against the darkness. My temptation is to get upset with the superintendents when they stonewall me. Or upset with some of the workers, or upset with the boss. That's the temptation. Okay? And I can't afford to do that. That will not qualify me for the kingdom to come. That will not qualify me as a ruler in the kingdom to come. Because rulers don't get frustrated. Rulers in the kingdom, they do now. But in the kingdom, they don't get frustrated. They don't get upset. They don't get angry at the people that God gives them. Now, they're going to rule with a rod of iron, and you just have to be very careful with a rod of iron. You got to know who to break and who not to break. You break the resistance. Have you ever thought about when the kingdom comes? All the changes that are going to have to take place in the earth? I mean, we don't think about it, these things in real terms. But all the things, our schooling system's going to have to change. And those of you who homeschool, say amen. You name it. It's going to have to change. The library system is full of junk books and books that are full of lies. When I was young, I learned Christopher Columbus was a hero. Now, if you read the books, he's not a hero. He's a jerk. Okay? So what's the truth? Is he a hero or is he a jerk? Well, in the kingdom, we're going to have the truth, Tony. We're going to find out, and that's what's going to be in the books. It's all going to change, Jay. And somebody's going to have to change it. Somebody's going to have to oversee all of those things. The nursing system. Right? When Jesus comes to the earth, there will be no nursing system. Well, maybe not. I don't know. We'll see, huh? Oh, you nurses be out of work? We'll go into a different kind of nursing, because there is health care where if you learn how to properly eat and exercise and take care of yourself, you can avoid a lot of diseases, which is not particularly looked upon with a lot of favor today. That's not what's being promoted by our government, is it? The health care system is being promoted under the assumption that we all are going to get sick, not that we can prevent it. So that's something else that can change. It'll all change. And God has a usefulness for every one of us. And every one of us will have a function. And every one of us can look to those. When Jesus said, lay up your treasures in heaven, we don't know what that means. What is lay up your treasures in heaven? You know, I got 50 bucks. How am I going to put 50 bucks in heaven? That's not what he's talking about. The Chattooga River. Have any of you ever heard of the Chattooga River? You don't know the Chattooga River from the Hiawassee or the Oconaluftee? Huh? Nope. Georgia. They've been ruined. They used to be full of brook trout. There's not a brook trout in them anymore. Because the water's too dirty and too warm. You know why it's too dirty and too warm? Because men have better ideas. Those are treasures for me laid up in heaven. I hope to restore those streams to the purity and the condition they used to be in that God intended for them. What is that? That strange treasure? Huh? Would you like to play in David's band? Is that a strange treasure? To me, it's not. It's a real treasure. And I lay it up in heaven because it's something, Jay, I can't grasp today. It's something I can't force today. You know what? One of the things that I've noticed, I'm back to music, okay? One of the things I've noticed that almost always, when God is really moving, I make mistakes. Boy, you'd think if it was perfect, it would be because I didn't make any mistakes, wouldn't you? But when God is really moving, I make mistakes. Why? Because this is the body of my humbling. God wants to keep me reminded. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's not because you're such a great musician or a great leader or a great singer or anything else. It's because I am God. And I anoint those who serve me. Boy, I would rather have God's anointing and make mistakes than to be perfect and no anointing. That's the way it is in this life. God keeps us in a humble state, Jason. Okay?
because we're looking for a city. Let's see if it gets, yes, we're getting down there. Okay. Here he is. He's living in tents. How many of us live in tents? Some of us have nice tents. Some of us have more tenty tents. I've been to the Philippines. They're very tenty tents over there. Okay. And in some of the other countries, people's tents are very, they don't have all the accoutrements that our tents have. They lived in tents in the land that God gave them, the land that God, this is our inheritance, Jay. This land here, all these things, construction. Oh, God, I'm going to have to change. If construction is part of my inheritance, honey, I'm going to have to change. Because I could lose inheritance, construction for the rest of forever and not blink an eye. But somebody's going to have to build houses, and so maybe I'll help. I don't know. I don't look forward to building houses because of the experiences that I've had. But who knows? It might even be enjoyable if it were different, huh? A treasure to put up in heaven. Okay, they lived as an alien in their land of promise. Do we live as aliens here? We have to. Mary, we have to. We have to consider ourselves the alien, so to speak. I belong to another race of human beings. I don't make a big deal of it because people would think I was a little strange. I go around saying I'm an alien. I'm really an alien. They soon think, yeah, he's an alien, all right. Just keep him away. So long as he doesn't cause any trouble, he can be all the alien he wants. Okay. But you have to think of yourself as an alien. I have to constantly remember, when, especially when you get in and you got the superintendent, and it's in your face, and he's cutting his teeth, and spit's coming out, and he's upset over something you have absolutely no control over. And something you have to do, whether he likes it or not, okay? It helps to remember I'm an alien. It helps to remember that I'm really God's son. I'm one of God's sons. Otherwise, I'm going to cower. Otherwise, I'm going to get angry. Otherwise, I'm going to think of all the things, the cute things I could say or the nasty things I could or somehow get this guy. Verbally. But I don't have to. I don't have to. I have to stand there as a representation of God on the earth. It takes some doing to where you transform your mind and begin to think like this. Do you think that way when you go out to the wild animal park? But I'm here to tell you the animals know the difference. They do. We don't. They do. That's the truth. The animals know the difference. I do customer service, so I go in people's houses, and I don't know how many times I've had people say to me, oh, I don't believe it. This cat or this dog, they don't ever act like this to other people. And I'm here, I'm just, you know, nice dog, yeah, yeah. And they're going, oh, my dog doesn't let anybody do that to them. Because the dog knows, this is the Son of God. The dog knows it better than I do. I'm learning that it's true. Okay? Our instinct is, that's what our instinct is. And that's not God's. He created the animals. So he's got jaws to speak. I can remember fishing on, what's-her-name's, in Florida, in her back pond back there where we got married. And the son, that was it the son or the son-in-law, had that big pit bull with the hung in his head. Was this big, was huge. And he'd come out and spend time with me. And I had to remind myself, I'm a son of the Lord. I'm a son of my Father. And we got along great. But I could tell you, if that dog wanted to take my hand off, he could do it without flinching. Okay? We got to be aliens
Remind yourself of that, okay, when you go home. Benny, when you go home and you walk into your house, say, this isn't really mine. I'm an alien here. It's my temporary abode. And you're very gracious with your temporary abode. In the land that God promised him. He dwelt in tents with Isaac and Jacob and the fellow heirs of the same promise. Now look, verse 10. Here we go. And I don't know where I am on the dial here, so, but I'm going to end soon. So you have to put fillers in, Dave, if you need fillers. He's looking for the city. Notice that it's not a, but the. He's not just looking for any old city. He's looking for the city. Jay, and what? What kind of city? Which has foundations. The problem is that all the stuff that we have here in the earth doesn't have any foundations. If the world went on and on, I don't know how things are going to go, but if the world went on and on, it could possibly, Tony, come 1,000 years from now when no one would know squat about a place called Washington, D.C. We can't conceive of that, but there are cities that nobody knows exist that used to be the centers of the then known world. And they're forgotten. Because they have no foundation. Civilizations. Forgotten. We read about some in the scripture and historians say, there's no, many of them don't even think that there's any truth to them because they don't know anything about it. And then sure enough, they find after a while, they find some relics and they find out, there really was a Hittite nation. But other than that, it was completely forgotten. Because the cities don't have foundations. He's looking for not a city, but the city. What city is he looking for? Sing about it this morning, my song. Huh? The New Jerusalem. Exactly. You know the foundation stones of that city have Abraham's, great-grandkids' kids' names on it? The eternal city? The New Jerusalem. Jacob's kids on the foundation stones. Those are Abraham's great-grandkids. He was looking for that city. He was looking. Are we looking for the city? Are we looking for our place in the kingdom? Are we looking for that world that we can't see? That we're supposed to be living in right now. I'm trying to talk to you out of that world. And hopefully you get a sense of the reality of it. Because what God wants that to be is an awareness and a reality that stays with us, Tony, 24/7. We're going to need it in the days that are coming. If the change that some of the prophets tell us is coming to the world, to our country, and to us personally, we're going to need to see the city that has foundations. Because our little world is going to be blown apart. Think about the people in 9/11 up on the floors above where the airplane hit. Their world came to an end. And the families who survived, in many ways, their world came to an end. This world will come to an end. And for us, the world we live in right now that we're very comfortable with is coming to an end. And the Lord is telling us to be prepared and to get our eyes on a city. Not a city, but the city. Which has foundation, whose architect and builder is God. What is God building in you? What is God building in me? What is God planning? What does God plan for us? We have to find it out, Jay. We have got to search it out. We have got to constantly go before God. You have to believe that He is. So if you believe that He is, that means you're going to Him and talking to Him, even though it sounds like maybe you're just talking to the air. Hello, God.
Hello, God. You know, just start having the conversation just as if he was there. Okay? You can tell those people, they get used to it after a while, because they actually begin to have conversations and they act like they're going to get a response. Because you see, if you go to God and you believe that he is and that he rewards those who diligently seek you, he will respond. Now, here's the thing about it. When you go, you can't go half-hearted. You can't go almost all the way. You can't keep some reserves. You've got to do like Abraham did and pick up and leave. We're nowhere we can go tonight, Jay. We're all going to go home to our tents, okay? But we need to go home to our tents. We need to realize that all that God has given us is a gift from him. All that God has put in our responsibility is a gift from him. All that we see and have is a gift from him. But this is not where our lives are going. Like Lisa was telling me the other day, my worth is not bound on how much money I make. I would really be depressed these days if it was. Because construction's not doing so good. Okay? We're trying to learn to see that city. We're trying to learn to see that world. And it takes faith. So we have to go. When we go, we have to go completely, Jay. And like I told you this morning when we were praying, he doesn't show you. I'll tell you what he shows you. Our sister can verify. What he shows you is the cross. You're going to go? Here. Take this up. It's an engine of death. It will destroy everything that you really don't want to keep. We don't know it now, Mary. But all the things that the cross destroys, we really want to get rid of. We really do. But it takes going in faith, believing that, before it happens. You have to do it, Jay. You have to go. You have to put your faith. You have to step out. You have to. With God, you don't get the understanding first and then the doing. It doesn't work that way with God. With God, you do the doing first and then the understanding comes. You'll never get. Some people are looking for the understanding. Yeah, I'm gonna. As soon as I figure it out, you're never gonna figure it out. What he asks and what he does and says is impossible. You're never going to figure it out. You've got to go and do the thing like God told Sandy. He's never asked her to do something she already isn't. In other words, she is a son of God. She is. Behold, we are the children of God. So it. Yes, he asks for the impossible. Yes, he leads us into the impossible. But it's not impossible with God. But we will not find out the answer. We will not find out where we're going. We will not find out what place we have. We won't find out any of these things if we think about it, hear about it, study about it, talk about it. Isn't going to happen, Jay. We'll still be here 20 years from now. Listening to other people who have been there, thinking that there's somehow maybe we're the same as they are because we can talk about it. The only way is to go. When God says leave, you leave. God says go, you go. And when you get there, you find it. But you don't find it until you get there. Let's pray. Lord, we do not know where you are taking us. We do not know. We do know the way. We know the way. Your disciples said that. Lord, we haven't got a foggish. Where in the world are you going? And you said, I'm the way. I'm the way. Take up your cross and follow me. So, Lord, as we sense change is coming. I mean, we got change tonight. Pastor has a broken leg. Change is coming. Change for many of us is already here. And greater change is coming. Where it will lead, we don't know. But Lord, help us to see past this world and to recognize that where you are taking us is a greater thing than what we have here. All the little things we can salvage and get our hands on and hold on to, Lord, pale compared to the things that you have for those who will diligently seek you. They pale, Lord. All we can hang on to are in comparison but filthy rags. It's just nothing. But you're bringing us into a broad place. You're bringing us into like we heard this morning, I think it was Linda who said, you bring us into a broad place. Psalm 18. You have for us, Lord, a place. You have for us, Lord, a city. You have for us a place in your kingdom. You have for us, Lord, understanding of who you are. You have for us, Lord, a relationship with yourself. To where we're no longer talking in the air, but we're talking to our God, and he speaks back. And our expectation is that he's going to speak to us, that he's going to guide us, that he's going to be there with us. So, Lord, I pray, as we're all going to go and we're going to face tomorrow, Lord, each one of us. And the economy sounds like it's improving right now, Lord, and so hopefully good times will be back rolling soon, and price of houses will get back up there and we'll be worth lots of money and we'll have some hope for our future and our retirement, blah, 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 blah. Lord, it's all there. All kinds of things to keep us endlessly distracted, Lord, from a world that is not seen but is very real. From a city that has foundations but is not seeable until we get there. Give us, I pray, Lord, of your grace to cast off, Lord. Christopher Columbus, Lord, he believed the world was round, but the only way he could prove it was to go get in the boat and sail over the side of the edge. And so it is with us, Lord. The only way we're going to be able to prove this world to come is to go sail over the edge. Lose our grip, Lord, on this life. Lose our grip on everything that we hold dear. And Lord, you'll bring us to that place until we have no grip on anything. But you hold us. You grip us. What a more wonderful thing, Lord. What can we hold? What have we got the ability to hold or grip? We're tenuous at best, Lord, but you are not. You're solid. You're faithful. You're good. You're everlasting. So, Lord, as we go forward tonight, Lord, and we're sensing, I believe many of us are sensing change is coming, Lord. Help us readjust our focus, Lord. Do as Abraham did. Begin to look for a city, Lord. He was looking. He didn't receive it. He died without ever seeing it in the sense that we're going to see it someday when it comes down out of heaven and from God. But he sought in another sense, Lord. He sought by faith. Now, Lord, I'm praying for us, your saints, that we would begin to see ourselves differently by faith, our circumstances differently by faith, Lord, the world that we live in and the world that you have called us to differently by faith. And that world and that self and that promise would become more real than what we see. I'm praying for each of us, Lord. Now, again, we pray for our pastors, Lord, as they will be struggling in these next few days, Lord, pain and whatever comes, Lord, with breaking a leg at 84, no less. Bless the man, Lord. Bless the man, I pray. Give him opportunity, Lord, to share out of the abundance of his heart while others are supposedly tending to him, he will be tending to their spiritual beings. Because he sees the city. He sees the city, Lord. He sees the world to come. He sees it. He sees it by faith, Lord, and it's this real to him. Lord, I pray in these days where he's laid up, that that will become ever more real. Ever more real. For each of us, let it become ever more real, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord, for each one that you brought here tonight, Lord, especially, Lord, our friends, our Filipino friends, Lord, from across the country and from the other side of the world. Spend time with us, Lord. Such a wonderful thing, Lord. Such a wonderful thing. It's just a small taste, Lord, just a small taste of what it means that all the nations of the earth will be blessed. We look forward to that, Lord. Now I pray your blessing and your peace be upon each one of your people, Lord. So we go forth and bless us through the week to come, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.